This morning we're going to talk about one of the most subtle enemies of spiritual growth and contentment in your life. I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 6. We've been in this series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've got one message here today. I think on a passage of the Scripture that's sort of the apex of the whole sermon. We'll come back to that in just a minute. Well, I do think that this last part of Matthew chapter 6 is sort of the apex, the crescendo of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to look and read verses 25 through 34 in just a minute, but the topic is worry. And I'm excited about teaching through this section because I think Jesus is just really practically, in these verses, he's helping us to understand this is an important thing, and if we're not careful, it can be a subtle but devastating hindrance to our walk with God. And so he brings it together in this crescendo of the whole sermon. I think he's making sure that we know this is an important topic that many people are going to have to work through. A man went to a psychologist. By the way, this is absolutely maybe one of the worst jokes I've ever told you. But it's so bad that it feels like I have to tell you it anyway. But a man went to a psychologist and said, "Doctor, sometimes I feel like a teepee, and sometimes I feel like a wigwam." The doctor thought for a couple of minutes, and then he said, "Well, I better treat you for anxiety because you're too tense." Yeah. I know. That really is in the Hall of Fame of dad jokes, I think. Well, the reality is that that worry and anxiety is no joke. It is a paralyzing issue for some. Some of us can relate to the Charlie Brown cartoon that shows Linus kind of dragging his blanket around and then stopping to talk to Charlie Brown. He says, "You look kind of depressed." Charlie Brown says, "Well, I worry about school a lot." And then he adds, "I worry about my worrying so much about school." And then Charlie Brown and Linus sit down on the log, and his final observation is, "My anxieties have anxieties." And I think there's many of us that understand that. We start to get anxious about the fact that we're so anxious, that we have so many worries. In our 2021 world, worry and stress is a way of life. I'm not going to give you a bunch of statistics, but a couple of recent surveys tell us 62% of one 2020 survey said that those that responded were experiencing some degree of anxiety, 62%. Another survey estimated that 31% of all adults will experience an anxiety disorder at some time in their life. One out of every three, not just will worry about things, but will experience some sort of a clinically defined anxiety disorder. We don't really need the statistics, because we've all lived the last year, and we know that worry is a part of life right now. Stress, at least, stress is a part of life. There's so many people that are filled with anxiety about so many things. Worry is that little voice that comes to us in the times when we're weak, and it whispers this doubt into our ear that says, "Hey, what if?" You know the what ifs, right? What if my husband loses his job? What if my wife gets cancer? What if my parents get COVID? Or what if I get COVID? What if someone breaks into our house? Or what if my son or my daughter has an accident? What if my kids make a really dumb decision and they mess up, you know, their lives? These what ifs that for a lot of people kind of come to us and sort of pervade our minds and our moments of weakness. And we start thinking along those lines, and, you know, it kind of makes our stomach churns. middle of the night, it wakes us up and we start worrying. We start thinking about these questions that seem to just keep cycling through in our minds. So the question that I want to ask you this morning as we look at this text, because this is so practical for us. I mean, I'm so excited about getting into it, but let me ask you this. How's your worry meter this morning? If I had a worry tester, and everybody, when you came in, we put the little tester on you that strapped to your wrist, and it was able to examine the worry spectrum of your situation right now, what would you say? Would you be in the normal range, or would it be kind of redlining? Are there times of your life when worry seems to overwhelm you? I'm happy to tell you this morning that God speaks very clearly to us about this topic. We're going to talk about God's answer for worry, and I want to read verses 25, where we left off, down through the end of the chapter. Jesus says this, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment?" Right? I mean, these are the kinds of things that we think about. These are the kinds of things that we worry about. Am I going to be okay? Are my finances going to be okay? How am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to handle kind of the difficult things that are going on in life? Am I going to be okay? I mean, that's sort of the question. You might not specifically ask this question, how am I going to eat, or you know, how am I going to buy clothes? But you might be asking some of those kinds of questions. How am I going to provide for myself? How am I going to provide for my family? "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I want to outline this section in three parts. Number one, Jesus says flatly, do not worry. It really is the theme of the section. And we know that by the fact that it is stated, it's actually repeated three separate times. You might have seen that as we read through that. In fact, you might want to go back and underline them. Verse 25, and then verse 31, and then verse 34. You saw almost exactly the same phrase. This helps us to know what this is talking about. Well, the same phrase is repeated three times. I think it gives us a pretty good idea. And it says, take no thought. We'll talk about this more in just a minute. That's not saying don't think about it. In fact, the original word means literally to worry anxiously, and that's why it might be in the translation that you're looking at. The ESV, I think, says take no. It says do not be anxious about. The NIV says do not worry about. That's really the two words I think that the original word is talking about: anxiousness or worry. It's interesting. If you're writing down a definition, let me give you a definition, and I'll tell you a little bit more about this. Worry is the preoccupation with things that are future, hypothetical, and beyond our control. So these are the things that we don't know for sure. They're the things that might happen. They're hypothetical. They're in the future. There's not something that I can control. And then anxiety related to it is the body's response to worry and fear. All right. So if we can kind of put those two things together, they're connected. Worry is the idea of thinking about what may happen. Anxiety is the body's response to the worry that is happening. It's interesting that the English word worry comes from an old German word. I don't have any German, well, I have some German heritage, but I don't have much German language. But the word Sorgen, I don't know how to say that. Sorgen, something like that. And it means to strangle or to choke. And isn't that exactly the worry idea? Anyone who's experienced this knows exactly what we're talking about here. It's kind of a mental and emotional stranglehold that it has on our life. That's exactly what worry does. Anxiety, if anybody's experienced anxiety, it's sort of this idea of you can kind of feel like you're drowning or you can't breathe. I mean, it literally, anxiety is this worry coming to fruition in your body, and you feel like I can't breathe, I can't process. Somebody might say, I feel like I'm drowning, and I don't know what to do about it. It's like this panic. You heard this panic attack, this anxiety attack. This is hard. Was hard for me to talk about for a while. I don't feel as uncomfortable about it now as I did, but you know, Faith and I have been pretty transparent about some struggles that we went through, you know, in our marriage and then in our family, and some really deep waters that we went through a number of years back. And in the middle of that time period, really a couple of years of deep, intense, you know, for us and our family, just in deep, intense pain and hardship, I had a season, and it felt like forever, honestly. It wasn't short. I had a season when I experienced some of this anxiety attack, kind of panic attack. If you had, I don't stress much. I handle stress pretty good. And if you'd have told me 5 years before this that I'd ever experience anything like this, I would not have believed you. Over the years, I've counseled, I've talked with many people who have gone through, you know, serious worry issues and struggles and the reality of panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And if you've never experienced it, it's really hard to even process. I think I probably didn't know how to. But when you do, and I did, it's pretty debilitating. And you don't know what's going on, and it affects you physically as you try to process, you know, all of these things that are happening. Jesus says this. He says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. And he says some interesting things about it. I kind of just, like we always do, I just want to walk down through this text because there's a lot of really important teaching that he does about it. I want you to see a few things. First of all, he says this. He says, when you worry, two things happen, and they're both not good. Number one, you stop trusting God. And number two, you start trying to take control for yourself. And both of these things we're going to see as we move on, is I'm just going to walk down through this text, but I want you to note them right here, because both of these are roadblocks to a life of faith. And this is what God has called us to. He's called us to this ability to have a life of faith, but if we have worry and if we have anxiety in our lives, it's going to produce a roadblock that we can't walk that life of faith. So that's why I think it's so important that Jesus says we got to deal with this. Let me just talk about these for a minute. When you worry, the first thing that happens is that you stop trusting God. Worry is the opposite of faith. It is the antithesis of faith. And that's exactly, I think, the big point that you see in these verses. I hope that you noticed it in verse 26, really all the way down through verse 30, verse 30, 26, 27, 28, 29. If I could just kind of put this here, the big point of those verses, I think, is this. You can trust God. You can trust God. I mean, if God can take care of the birds, and if God cares about the flowers, then don't you think that he can care for you? That he does care for you and that he will care for you. So when you worry, you're saying, God, I'm just not sure that you can handle this. I'm not sure that you know what you're doing here. I mean, I don't know why you allowed these circumstances in my life, and they feel so overwhelming to me right now. God, I'm not sure that you know what you're doing here. Look down at verse 30. Jesus says, he calls out to those who would say these things. He says, O ye of little faith, right? Worry is the antithesis of faith. As our worry meter goes up, our faith meter goes down. And as the faith meter goes up, then our worry meter goes down. They're connected in this way. So the second thing is this. When you worry, you start trying to take control of your life. In fact, mark this down. My observation, kind of personal observation, is that most worriers are control freaks, or at least they have control tendencies. And I say that in the kindest possible way for all of you worriers out there. What happens is that when things are out of your control, and you're used to having things in control, then we start to worry. And the what-ifs start happening. And again, I think this is exactly the point of this section. The point of this section, Jesus is saying, is you are not in control. No matter how much you think that you are, no matter how hard you try to be so, you are not in control. Verse 27 says, who can add an inch to his height? You can't. You really don't have any control over these things. And so Jesus says this, and I want everybody to be very clear about it. He says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. And I think that what that tells us is that if you are, and again, I want to say this very gently, because I understand, I'm processing with many of you here, I understand this, but gently, if you are worrying, you are flatly disobeying Jesus' clear teaching. When we disobey Jesus' teaching, the Bible calls that sin, and it disrupts our faith, and it disrupts our walk with God. So that's the first thing. Jesus flatly, clearly says, do not worry. Number two, Jesus explains clearly why worry is out for the Christian. Let me just, again, work through this passage with you. Worry's out for the Christian for these reasons. Number one, because there's more to life than things. Right? Verse 25. He says, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Life is more than this stuff. Why are we worried about it? Because there's more to life than things. Number two, because God has everything under control. I mean, that's again verse 26 and following. I just love this whole scene of the birds and the flowers. And the point of it is that these birds, they just do not spend any energy worrying about things. They just don't. I've never seen a bird flying around wringing its hands about figuring out where his next worm is going to come from. The flowers of the field, they're not, you know, popping, you know, extra strength Tylenol because of tension headaches. The birds aren't worried. The flowers of the fields, they're not worried. Why not? Because God takes care of them. And if God takes care of them, verse 30, don't you think he's going to take care of you? That's what Jesus is saying. All right, number two, because God has everything under control. Number three, because we can only live one day at a time. Look at verse 34 says, Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each day has enough for you to deal with. Don't get caught up with the what ifs. Just deal with today. Let tomorrow take care of itself. All right, so Jesus clearly commands. He says, do not worry. And then he explains to us why worry is out. And then the third kind of outline of this text is this. So what do I do with my worry? All right, if I can accept it, Jesus says no. And then he says why this is a problem. And what am I going to do about it? Because I don't like this either. Most people who struggle with worry, they don't like it. And now, you know, we've kind of found out, if we didn't know it before, that we're commanded not to worry. So what are we going to do about this? I want to tell you this, maybe as kind of an intro to this section. I want you to know this, that God would not give us such a clear command if he did not think that we could follow it. All right? God is not commanding us, don't worry, don't be anxious about these things. If there was some reason for any one of you, any one of us, that we could somehow not be able to fulfill what he's calling us to do here. If he didn't have an answer for your struggle, and I think this passage has an answer. Now, we're going to only talk about it in, you know, just a couple of minutes. I understand that for many people that are struggling intensely with this, I'm not saying that next 15 minutes, you know, here's four simple things and this is going to make your problem go away. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But I am saying this is the foundation of a real answer. And it may be that you're going to need some time talking with somebody that can help you walk through, you know, exactly what God says about this. What does God's word say about this? But here's the foundation. Let me at least introduce it for you, as Jesus did for us. So what do I do with my worry? I want to give it to you in 4 points. I hope that you'll really tune in here, track with me for the next couple minutes. Number one is this. Jesus says, choose to think. Choose to think. I told you before that the take no thought that the King James says does not mean to stop thinking about it. In fact, that'll confuse you. That's most of the time what we try to do with our worry. All right, so this thing that's happened in my life, or at least I'm thinking might happen in my life, it comes up in my mind again, and what we kind of say, well, I just got to stop thinking about it. If I just stop thinking about this, then, you know, everything's going to go away. But the reality is, just trying to stop thinking about something never works. It just doesn't. It's impossible. So that's not what Jesus is saying. You know, I've got to stop thinking about this. All right, I got to think about something else. You know, the proverbial, I got to think about blue cows or, you know, purple rhino, you know, something. I got to start thinking about this. But man, how do I stop thinking about that thing? And it just sort of grows in your mind. And the more you try to stop thinking about it, the reality is the more that you end up thinking about it, this cycle that, you know, kind of consumes you. It will never work to try to stop thinking about something. And that's not what Jesus instructs you to do. In fact, just the opposite. Verse 26, he says, behold, consider the birds. What Jesus says is, think deeply about the birds. I love this. Think deeply about the birds and the spiritual truths that you can learn from them. Verse 28, he says, consider the lilies. You say, man, this sounds a little bit, you know, a little bit weird, right? Just start thinking about the birds and the lilies. This is really what Jesus is saying. He said, you know, think about the things that I've cared for. Go ahead. It'll relax you. Think about the birds. But think about the birds in light of the truths, the spiritual truths that they can teach you. And then think about the flowers of the field and think about them in terms of the spiritual truths that they can teach you about what you're going through. So the problem with worry is not that we think too much. The problem is that we don't think enough about the right things. that make sense? The problem with worry is not that we think too much. The problem is that we don't think enough about the right things. So, what is it that we're supposed to think about then? Well, again, here's what Jesus was teaching, and I hope that you'll get this. If we can kind of simplify it, he says, choose to think, and here's what you should think, according to Matthew 6. Think about the fact that God has everything under control. That's what you ought to think about. You ought to star this. You ought to put a box around it. Whatever it is that you got to say, this is sort of the main point of this whole thing. You need to think about the idea that God has everything under control. Let me tell you what's wrapped up in that statement. It's one of the most powerful expressions of faith and trust that has ever been expressed. God has everything under control. It's filled with thoughts about God, and I know this is scary for some of us. It's filled with theology. I mean, that's what theology is. It's thoughts about God. Theology is what you believe about God. You say, theology, what are you talking about? Well, it's filled with this idea that God is sovereign. He's in control. He's in control of everything. I can trust him. And God is omnipotent. He is so powerful that he can change whatever he wishes. And so if he's allowed this in my life, then I know it must be for my good, because he could change it if he wished, and he can when he needs to. And God is omniscient. He knows all and he sees all. He knows what's happening. Listen, the things that you're worried about right now, and I can imagine as I kind of look around here this morning of everybody sitting in this place, there's all kinds of different things that are on your mind that you're potentially worried about that bring stress to your life. I want you to know Jesus knows. God knows. He's omniscient. He's not leaving you out there to only think about it by yourself. And he's omnipresent, and he's wise, and God is love. I mean, God would never allow something to happen in my life that he's not planned for my good. And all of this, theology, what I believe about God, all of this is wrapped together when we say that we believe that God has everything under control. I had a chance to spend a little bit of time with my dad here in this last trip. It's an awesome picture of my dad. You know, it's amazing how God does things and how he works things out beyond what we think through. I was, Pam would know this story. I was trying to get back just as soon as my schedule finished to get back. I was anxious to get home, and for all of those reasons. And Pam was working on, you know, some schedules, and on the day that I was trying to get back, I mean, it just didn't work. Found some flights, but I don't remember what it was, like $500, $700 more to get back on this certain day, and eventually it was the next day, it was cheaper, and so we tried multiple different ways and options. Just turned out that I couldn't come home without that extra $700 or whatever it is, unless I waited the next day. Because I waited the next day, I spent a day with my dad, and it was awesome. I just sat with him. I didn't have any more meetings. I didn't have any place that I had to go. I just sat with him, and we went for a walk, and we talked, and he felt it, and I felt it, and it was a sweet thing. On the way home, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about preparing for this message, and I believe this. I know what a lucky guy I am for a lot of reasons. But, you know, when I was a kid, I just thought my dad was the absolute greatest person in the whole world. In fact, I still feel that. I believed with all of my heart that my dad was the greatest person in the whole world. And, you know, when we... when we're kids, you know, we go through stuff. And you're a little boy and you get yourself in some sticky situations, right? Maybe you can think about when you were a kid. Maybe you found yourself in some dangerous situation. I can think back on some situations. Maybe you are afraid and you're kind of starting to panic. And then out of nowhere, Dad appears. And immediately, Dad appears, and it's like, hey, Dad's home. Everything's under control. I was thinking about it. What an awesome way to grow up as a kid, that my dad was the greatest man in the world. When he showed up, everything was under control. I didn't have to worry about anything. On what basis does a little boy say something like that? Well, if you would, it's on the basis of his theology of dad. My dad is strong, and he's smart, and he's tough, and he always knows what to do. And because I believe or I know all these things, in this situation, my circumstances haven't changed, but it'll be okay because Dad's home and everything's under control. This is how we think when we believe in our God who has it all under control. When we choose to think. By the way, this is a conscious choice. It's sort of a discipline of the mind. And this type of thinking doesn't just happen. It's sort of a trained and a practiced thinking. So first of all, we have to choose to think, right? Don't let your mind run loose. Train yourself to think about God and this idea that God has everything under control. Let me just quickly highlight the last three ideas. They really explain themselves. Let me tell you them quickly. Number one, choose to think. Number two, choose to trust. Choose to trust. We've really been talking about this the whole time. Worry is the opposite of faith. It's the opposite of trust. So we're going to choose to trust that God has everything under control. Now, this is the part that I think is hard, because it's really hard to choose to trust when we don't feel like trusting, right? Jerry Bridges, in his book, You Can Trust God, says this. This is really helpful. For many years in my own pilgrimage toward trusting God at all times, I was a prisoner to my feelings. I mistakenly thought that I could not trust God unless I felt like trusting Him, which I almost never did in times of adversity. Anybody else ever experienced that? Now I'm learning that trusting God is first a matter of the will, and it's not dependent on my feelings. I choose to trust God, and my feelings eventually follow. I wish I could give you some illustrations about this, but you're going to choose. You're going to have to choose to trust, and it's not necessarily what you're going to feel. In fact, when you don't feel like trusting, this is the time when you actually have to choose to. All right, choose to trust. Number three, choose to pray. I'm going fast, but I'm not minimizing this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, be careful or be anxious for nothing. Really, literally, it says, don't worry. That's our word. Don't worry about anything, but instead, by everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Right? Instead of worry, we have to learn how to pray. When your son or when your daughter is coming home late and you start to feel that, you know, kind of welling up inside you, something happened, did they get in an accident, what's going on? Listen, don't worry, pray. When your finances are tight and you don't know how you're going to pay that next bill, don't worry, pray. When you think that you might lose your job and everything's kind of up in the air, don't worry, pray. When you get called to go back to the doctor and you're not exactly sure what they're going to say about the test that you just took, don't worry, instead pray. And when you feel overwhelmed and when you feel confused And when you feel anxious, the Bible says, don't worry, we should pray. Choose to think, choose to trust, choose to pray. And number four, choose to dwell on God's word. There's a great verse in Romans 10:17. It says, now faith, or we could say trust, now trust, faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? By the word of God. Where does faith come from? Where does trust come from? And it comes by the word of God. And if you're dealing with worry, immerse yourself in the word. Find out about God. Find out about who he is. Find out about others who've experienced your circumstances and found in the middle of those difficult circumstances that God was enough. You need to read their stories. You need to rest in their stories. Can I ask you this morning, what is your lifeline scripture? I hope you have a couple of kind of key scriptures for different seasons of your life, but I think you ought to have sort of a lifeline scripture. Everybody ought to have kind of a go-to that when I feel like this worry coming on, this is the text that I go back to, a text in the Psalms. I've always called it kind of a lifeline. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm sinking. Where's the rope that I can hang on to? Man, find the text. There's a lot of them. Maybe you can find one that's yours, that's your lifeline text. So think, trust, pray, and dwell. This is what Jesus says we do about worry. This is the answer to anxiety. We think, choose to think. We choose to trust, even when we don't feel like, in fact, especially when we don't feel like trusting. We choose to pray. Don't worry, pray. And we choose to dwell on God's word. Someone wrote this personal testimony. I'm anxious when I think that I'm alone in this life. I'm anxious when I think that it all depends on me. I'm anxious when I do not trust in the goodness and provision of the Lord to take care of me. I'm anxious when my focus is on me and my needs. I'm anxious when I think I need to manipulate circumstances to get my needs met. But when I trust, genuinely trust in the Lord, the anxiety level falls rapidly. You know, some here, I know, struggle, I'm sure, across this room, maybe even really struggle. And I just want to tell you on the basis of this text, on the basis of this scripture, that God wants to help you. He wants to walk beside you. He wants to give you confidence. He wants to give you trust. And we don't even have time to talk about, I think, the best verse in this whole text, maybe this best verse in the whole sermon. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What are these things?